to 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you haven't got a Bible, there's Bibles in the pew in front of you. So please take one of the Bibles and open it in the New Testament at 1 Timothy chapter 1. And there's a text of Scripture in this chapter that I want just to leave with you at the end of the meeting. Now, I'm not going to preach long tonight. You're going to get a short sermon this evening. But there's a wonderful text of Scripture here in this portion of God's precious Word. I know, and I'm sure it will be familiar to most of us, if not all of us. And I pray that the Lord will bless it to our hearts. But before we do that, as God's Word is open before us, let's bow in a wee word of prayer just and ask the Lord for His help. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for all Thy mercies to us this evening. We thank Thee, Lord, for these lovely hymns that we have heard sung. We thank Thee for the Word of God that has been read to us. We just pray now, Lord, at the close of our carol service, that You would come, Lord, and speak to all of our hearts. We thank Thee for the message of the gospel. And we praise Thee, Lord, for Thy saving grace. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We pray tonight, Lord, as we seek to present the message of the gospel, Lord, we pray that You would fill us afresh with Your gracious Holy Spirit. And, O God, help us only to say those things that will be pleasing to Thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. 1 Timothy 1, look at verse 15 with me. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a wonderful text of Scripture. And it reveals unto us the simple message of the gospel. And of course, it also reveals unto us the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And very simply, at the close of our service tonight, I want to draw your attention to this text, but particularly, I want to emphasize the words in the text, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So if you've got a pen, you can underline those words particularly. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's a personal message for each and every one of us here tonight. Because the Bible tells us that we were all born sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. So here's a message for you and for me. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, if you're not a Christian tonight, if you're not saved, if you're not born again of the Holy Spirit of God, I want you to listen very carefully, because here we have God's Word to your heart this evening. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will take His Word and speak to your heart through the Bible tonight. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe tonight that the Scriptures the Word of God. And we pray this evening as we look at this part of God's Word, this text, this phrase, that the Lord will apply it to all of our hearts, but especially and particularly to you tonight. If you're found in the gospel meeting, the carol service, and you're not saved by the grace of God. Now, very simply, as you look at the text, you learn a number of things. First of all, I want you to notice the person that the text is speaking about here. Look at it. What does it say? It says Christ Jesus. This text of Scripture is referring to the Son of God. And of course, when you study the Bible, the Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity, He's known by many different names in the Bible. They're all wonderful names. And they've all got special meanings. And when you consider these two names of the Son of God, Christ Jesus, you learn something very wonderful. The name Christ, I'm sure most of you know, means Messiah or the Anointed One. And of course, we all know what the name Jesus means. It means Savior. In the Old Testament, and many times throughout the Old Testament, the prophets prophesied that the Messiah would come, that the Christ would come, and that he would come to be the Savior of the world. The first prophecy is in the very first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis chapter 3. But from Genesis chapter 3, right throughout the Old Testament, time and time again, God's faithful servants prophesied and declared that the day would come when the Messiah, when the Christ, when Jesus, the Savior, would come into the world. And of course, he eventually did come. And when we read Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1 and 2, we read about the Lord Jesus coming into this world. And the Lord Jesus being born in Bethlehem's manger was a fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies. Isn't it wonderful tonight as we are gathered here that the Messiah has come, the Christ of God has come, the Savior of the world has come, and he is an all-sufficient Savior. Maybe you have a burden tonight. Maybe you have problems that no one knows. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, this all-sufficient Savior, he can meet you at the very point of your need. And certainly as far as the sin problem is concerned, as we're going to find out in a moment, he can meet you spiritually at the point of your need. And he can forgive you for your sins and save you for time and for eternity. But I want you to notice how the Lord Jesus Christ is described here. Christ Jesus. You know, when the people of Sychar, and we read about the people of Sychar in John chapter 4, and you should take the time when you go home to read John chapter 4, you will read there how the people of Sychar, after they met Christ, they received him as the Savior. Indeed, we read in John chapter 4 and verse 42 these words, "Now we believe," this is what the people of Sychar said after they met Christ, "Now we believe and know that this is indeed the Christ," or if you like, "this is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world." You see, the people of Sychar recognized in Christ that he was that all-sufficient Savior, that he could meet all their needs, and especially their spiritual needs, and they trusted him for eternal salvation. Thank God today, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, he can meet you at the very point of all your needs tonight, and especially your spiritual need. In fact, he's the only one that can save you from your sins and redeem you for time and for eternity. He's the only Savior. Because the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And Peter there in Acts 4 was speaking of Christ. And Jesus said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's no other Savior but Christ. There's no other Redeemer. There's no other Messiah. There's no other Anointed One or Holy One. He is the only Savior of man. And if you and I ever want to get to heaven, if we ever want to escape hell, if we ever want to have our sins forgiven, then we must come and put our faith and trust in this Messiah, in this Savior, in this Redeemer. So that's the person, Christ Jesus. But look at the text again, and you'll see the plan. It says here in verse 15 of 1 Timothy 1, "Christ Jesus came into the world." I want you to underline those words. Christ Jesus came into the world. In order for Christ Jesus to be this all-sufficient Savior, he had to come into this world. The plan that God devised to bring his only begotten Son into the world in order to be this all-sufficient Savior, of course, was the incarnation. The birth of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, was a divine plan. It was a miracle, and it was a mystery, and is a mystery. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, we read these words, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Now, how can anyone explain that? God becoming man. Can you understand it? I can't understand it. But the Bible doesn't ask us to understand it or even explain it. The Bible just asks us to believe it. You see, that's where faith comes in. And the problem with men today is that they have no faith. They won't believe what the Bible says. But when we think of the virgin birth and the miracle of the virgin birth, although we can't explain it, all God wants us to do is to believe it. The Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You see, in order for God to save sinners like you and I, his only begotten Son, the second person in the Holy Trinity, had to come down to earth, be born of a Virgin Mary, live a sinless life, and go to the cross, and upon the cross of Calvary, die and shed his precious blood for your sins and for my sins. That was the plan of God. And it was a merciful plan, for not one of us deserve God's salvation. You don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. Because of our sin, we deserve nothing but judgment. But you know, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in order to provide eternal salvation for you and me, God had a plan. And his plan was that his only begotten Son would be born of a Virgin Mary and then go to the cross and there shed his precious blood for your sins and for my sins. My friend, I can't explain that either. Why a holy God should put into operation such a plan for you and me. And yet that's the message of the gospel. That's the truth that the Bible declares unto us tonight. You see, take a look at the text again. Not only will you see the person, Christ Jesus, not only will you see the plan, Christ Jesus came into the world and all that entailed, being born, living a holy life, going to the cross and dying for our sins, but you'll see there the purpose of it all. Christ Jesus came into the world, look at it, to save sinners. Underline those words. The purpose of Christ Jesus coming into the world was to save sinners. That's why he was born. That's why he lived a holy life. That's why he died upon the cross of Calvary. The purpose of God sending his only begotten Son into this world was in order to save us from our sins. The word saved there, it literally means to deliver or to rescue. That's what the word literally means. Therefore, Christ Jesus came into the world to deliver or to rescue sinners from the punishment of their sin. Now, what is the punishment of our sin? Well, what does the Bible say? You see, at the end of it all, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what I say or what you say. The most important thing is what the Bible says. And always remember that, men and women. Always remember that it's what God says That's all important. May our words all perish, but may God's word ever be established. We're not dealing with the words of men tonight. We're not dealing with the words of a church tonight. We're dealing with the word of God. What does God's word say concerning perishing in our sins? Well, of course, if a man perishes in his sins, he goes to hell. Now, in this 21st century, that's not a message that people want to hear. Now, they never wanted to hear it, but more so today, in this 21st century, no one wants to hear about hell. But remember this, Christ Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins, to save us from the penalty and the punishment of our sins. And that means that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us from hell. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. You said to me, why did Jesus die? He died to save us from hell. He died to deliver us from the wrath which is to come. He died in order to rescue us from a lost eternity. I want you to imagine just for a moment that you're walking up Enniskillen Street. And as you're walking up Enniskillen Street in the middle of the night, all of a sudden you see this house on fire. And the family within the house are asleep. And you know that if they don't get out of the house, they're going to burn to death. They're going to have a cruel death. What do you do? What do you do? Do you walk on past? Do you say, well, now I'll not disturb them. I wouldn't like to upset them. I don't want to get them out of bed this hour of the night. No, I'll tell you what you do. You go and you knock the door down and you start to shout. You want to awaken them. You want to get them from their danger. You want to get them to safety. My friend, the truth is this. You and I are heading towards hell. And the Bible tells me that there's fire in hell. Now, what would you want me as a gospel preacher to tell you tonight? If the Bible says there's a hell, and if the Bible says that men and women are on their way to hell, what would you want me to tell you tonight? Would you want me to tell you everything's well? Just do the best you can, and you'll be all right. Don't worry about this place called hell. Don't worry about judgment to come. Don't worry about what the Bible says. You'll be all right. Or would you want me to tell you the truth? Well, here's the truth. The truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world. He has died upon a cross, shed his precious blood for our sins, for your sins and for my sins, in order that we might be rescued from the fires of hell. That's why Jesus died. Always remember that. The Lord Jesus did not come into this world just to live a good life, just to leave us a good example. And he certainly did leave us a good example of that, there is no doubt. But the reason why the Lord Jesus came into this world, why he was born in the manger, why he went to the cross, was in order to save us from our sins. And that means to save us from the consequences of our sins, which is hell. Now, I might disturb you by telling you that tonight, just as you would disturb the people in the house as they would sleep because there's a fire in the house. But oh, I pray tonight that the Lord would reveal unto you your great need of God's salvation. I challenge you tonight to read the Bible. Read it for yourself. Everything that I'm saying is found in God's Word. You read the Bible. And the Bible will reveal these wonderful truths to you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins, to deliver us from our sins. Now, in order for you to be saved, you must do something. Now, the work is done. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. We can't bring ourselves to heaven. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What must I do? Well, you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must receive Him. This week, we'll be giving presents and gifts, and hopefully we'll get a few back. That's the part I'm looking forward to. I don't know about you, but I receive all gifts gladly. But you know, when my wife buys me that special gift, when she hands it to me, I've got a decision to make. Will I receive it? Will I take it off her? Or will I just say, well, I don't want it. I don't want that gift. Now, you wouldn't think much of me if I said to my wife, and she certainly wouldn't think much of me if she handed me a gift on Christmas morning and I said, I don't want that. I'd gladly receive it. My friend, the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, God offers you eternal salvation. He offers you heaven. The gift of God is eternal life, and He wants to give you everlasting life this evening. But you've got to receive it. You say, preacher, how do you receive it? You receive it by faith. You trust Christ as your Savior. By faith. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You receive it by faith. You come as a sinner to Jesus, and you get down before Him, and you pray the sinner's prayer, and you ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins, and you ask Him to save your precious soul and prepare you for heaven. And if you do that, the Lord will save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever received the gift of eternal life? I love the story of Zacchaeus. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Zacchaeus, of course, was a very, very small man. And he was a sinner. The Bible certainly points that out if you read Luke chapter 19. But he had a desire to see Jesus. And of course, we know the story. He climbed up into the sycamore tree in order to see Christ. And the Lord Jesus, as he walked past under the sycamore tree, he looked up and he said this to Zacchaeus. And this was the invitation. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, it was the invitation. Zacchaeus had a choice to make. Would he come down? Would he go with Christ? Or would he just stay up in the sycamore tree? He could have said to the Lord Jesus that day, I'm not coming down. You're not welcome in my house. I just want to see you, but I don't want you to be my Savior. But of course, we know what he did. The Bible says, this is what it says. Look it up yourself. Luke chapter 19. It says, and Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And the Lord Jesus Christ said of Zacchaeus that day, he said this, this day is salvation come to this house. In other words, that was the day when Zacchaeus was saved. That was the day when Zacchaeus received eternal life. That was the day when Zacchaeus was born again of the Spirit of God. Tonight we all know the story of the gospel. We all know the Christmas story. We know about Jesus being born in the manger. We know about him living upon this earth for 33 years. We know about him dying upon the cross. We know about him rising again the third day. And maybe even in our heads we believe all that we read in the Bible. But you see, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I wonder, have you ever received Christ into your heart as your Savior? Have you ever trusted him as your own and personal Redeemer? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Has he saved you? Has he? Friend, only you can answer that question. If he hasn't, my prayer is tonight that you will come and trust him as your Redeemer.